I think it's so important. But before I go there, I'm gonna go to my gospel advocate only for a moment. And I wanna read this topic. In 1918, a 20-year-old compassionate Christian woman helped a struggling family to have food on the table and to know the Lord. So first of all, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. One day, she asked the terminal father of four if he would be willing to study God's word with a preacher. And he said he would. In a short time, five of the six people, family members, obeyed the gospel and were saved. When she grew older, the youngest child also came to the Lord. You know, I often sometimes think about even myself when I first obeyed the gospel. Now I was in the denomination for 19 years. I was baptized when I was 9 years old, but I was not baptized for the remission of sin as I should have been. So when I was 25 years old, I obeyed the gospel. And I was very glad and very pleased that I did. It's one of the great things that I have accomplished in my lifetime that really means. And I still have a long way to go. But I want to look at us and what we can do even now. As long as I've been in the church, I've been in the church for over 40 years. But there's still room to save the others that don't know anything about Jesus Christ. That's our main responsibility, is to teach others about Jesus Christ. We cannot afford to live our life like there's nothing and no tomorrow. It's all about us. That's not how it is. It's about others. And that's why I'm just so thankful to be a Christian. Now, I haven't done everything that I should have done or even could have done over the years in leading others to Christ. But as long as I've got brothers in my body, I still have an opportunity to do that. Now, I've done a lot of stuff, over the years. I've been doing as much as that I used to preach it. But it's something that is important. It is something that God has blessed me to be able to do. I guess I've done some of everything in church that possibly didn't do. But coming to save the soul, I haven't done enough of that. And I need to do more of it. I think all of us could stand to do a little bit more of that. But it may be a little bit more. And it says, as a subtopic here, and I'm not going to read all of this stuff, read a little bit of it. It says, use your ability. We need to start to use our ability. Not everyone has the same ability in the church. The church is a body with many members, according to Romans 12 and verses 4 and 5. Whatever abilities we have, whatever gift God has given us, we must use them in serving the Lord and in building up of the body of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Now, the primary task of the church is to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all people, according to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, and Mark 16, 15, and 16. I want to mention how important it is. The Bible mentions what our primary goal should be, and that is to be saving souls. All of us need to learn how to save someone to be soul winning for Christ. And I can't say that enough in this class today because we don't check on that enough. I would rather speak on our teachers on a number of topics, but when I have the opportunity to teach a class, I usually pick what I want and what I like to try to get, what thoughts I'm going to try to get over to the class at that time. Now, I'm going to go back to the book a little later, but I don't want to run out of time before I do this. Do you want to... Before we go over to Acts chapter, this is still in Acts chapter 10, but we're going to go down to Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. Then we're going to go over to Acts 34. Acts 10, 34, down to verse number 48. Now, I'm going to call on someone. I'm going to call on the teacher back there in a little while. I want you to read for me verses Acts 10, verses 34 down to 48, but not just yet. I want someone else to get for me before that. Acts 10, verses 9 through 16, and let's see. I don't want to call my wife. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16.
The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet down at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And the voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unclean, eaten anything common or unclean."
Okay, hold on a minute. Now, one thing I like about Peter was a good Jew boy. I really like that about him. He knew that there were certain things he was not supposed to eat. And he tried to make sure he kept that and didn't do that. But in that trance he was in, he saw all kinds of things. It was, the Bible says, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, all of that. But this is it. And I'm going to finish. And a voice came to him. All right. Rise, kill and eat. I don't know why you said that, just read. But he said, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Believe me. You good.
And the Lord spoke to him again the second time. What God has created, he must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again.
Okay, thank you. I find it so interesting that this, that for some reason, how many times, three times, how important I guess that is. All through scripture, numbers are in place when it comes to certain things. And this is one time, too, that this was done how many times in verse 16? Three times. And the object was taken up into heaven again. So, there are certain things, you know, we try to stray away from as much as we can because many of us have health issues, you know. But still, God said, you know, everything that he made is good. And we certainly get to take it if we want when it comes to, even when it comes to food. You know. So that's a good thing. In common so far. I find it interesting about Peter and his vision. It's so wonderful that he had this vision and kind of like went into a trance. But that was good. That was good. It was good for us so we could see exactly what he went through and what he was talking about. So that's good. Now, no comments, I'm going to get to go ahead and read. Verse 34 to after verse number 48.
Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit of God, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Please, thank you for that reading so far. I want to touch on a few things before we finish the last few verses. Now, what is going on here? Is Peter having, they're all creeping to the house of Cornelius? It's so important that I find that Peter kind of went back and talked about Jesus Christ hanging on the tree. And I found it important that they had to understand the importance of that crucifixion. And I know a lot of things are going to take place as well. Our responsibility is to preach and teach God's word, particularly just teach God's word. So oftentimes we make excuses as to why we can't. We make excuses sometimes as to why we can't do certain things. But God has given us all certain abilities. And we ought to make sure we use those abilities to best suit the Lord. We have that responsibility. Yes. I like it because it's good that Peter is able to tell the story of Christ and what happened to him. Because, first of all, you know, being a Gentile, not a Jew, many of the Jews frowned upon and didn't care a great deal. I have a lot of respect for a Gentile. And, you know, God has put everything in place. Everything that we need, and He gave us certain abilities. We may not all have the same abilities, but we are able to, if we can, at least talk to someone about Jesus Christ, particularly if you don't know a great deal about Him and what He did. We have that responsibility. There are those who sometimes we get only use excuses why we can't do certain things. But God, like I said, has given us certain abilities. Even if you can't teach someone directly to the elder, directly to a preacher, someone who was in a junior high. And they should be able to help an individual in that situation and helping them understand more about Jesus Christ and what he did and how important it is for us to get that message over that Jesus Christ died for us all and he doesn't want anyone to be lost. That's the main thing. He doesn't want any one of us to be lost. That doesn't even make, that wouldn't even make good sense for God to create us and then turn around and want us to start. No. He, I believe many of us, everyone in here, can get a chance to make their life better and understand it. But Christ said, many of us already know that. We've been in church about it. But you know what? We need to stay in God's Word. We got to stay in it. Because we have a responsibility to make sure that we do the right thing ourselves. And also, if we can't help others, that's what we need to be doing. Helping those. Because I don't care how much you think you know. We don't know much. We don't know that much at all. And I'm so thankful that God is, so thankful to God's grace, most of all. Yeah. I'm thankful for that. All right, I'm not gonna, you stop that, okay.
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard his message. The circumcised believers who had come to Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard him speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized in water? They received the Holy Spirit just as we have. The order that they be
thank you for that reading. Thank you so much for that. One of the things we have to look at that I like here is the Peter talked to him. Verse 46, but they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter said, answer, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?
Now remember, you have to go back to Acts chapter 2, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles when they were in the upper room. And this is the second time that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has occurred. And here it has occurred again, a second time. Now, why it happened? You gotta ask God what you see. But I find it interesting that it happened. Now listen, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon them, but what else had to happen? They had to be what? Well, they had to be baptized. They couldn't just, because even though that God's one of the Holy Spirit occurred, it wasn't enough for them to just, you know, for that to just happen. Other things had to take place. Anyone who wants to follow God will have to obey his command. And one of his commands is, yes, you got that. For the remission of sin. That's the reason you're baptized. Which is a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. Be baptized for the remission of sin. Now, I'm going to do a little more reading. Now, I'm going to try to read a little something. I'm not a people read it here, but I'll do it here. How God reaches souls. God remembered a man named Cornelius, as we just read. Cornelius feared God. He was quick to help the poor and was a devout man who prayed often. Cornelius, however, had not heard the gospel and had not become a Christian. Now we just read he had become a Christian now. I'm going to go down a little bit and Jesus saw the zeal and dedication of a man by the name of Saul. And he knew this man acted like acted with a clear conscience, even when he persecuted the church. Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, but he did not tell Saul how to correct the sin. Instead, Jesus told him to enter into the city, and it will be told to you what you must do. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then Jesus sent Ananias, who told Saul to get up and be baptized. Now, that is one of the things I often say this. No baptism, no salvation. You have to be baptized and all the things, right, to get that, to go to heaven, get that salvation that is often talked about in the scripture. And we need to make sure that we do all we can to, even after we're baptized, we have a lot of good work that needs to be done that we can do. God does not personally reveal the message of salvation of man to mankind. Today, he does not speak directly to us to save us by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Remember that in the Old Testament, in the Old Scripture, God often talked to men. But he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't do that. Why? Because we got God's word in there. We have his word now. We don't have to. I think if somebody was talking to me like that, it's probably scary. That's probably would. That's why we can go to the word and get the information we need out of it. It's a wonderful thing the way God has designed everything. God is perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes. He has faith in it. How many have we made? So we're that way. We're not perfect, so we're gonna mess up everything. But it's wonderful. God's word is perfect. And that's what we need to follow. His word. His word. Now, I'm going to read this little part, and this ought to do it. That was another lesson I hope I'll make you later. No, I'm good. I'm going to read this little part. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus reminds us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. How few that is. And I find also, they don't want all of this fact that they really need the Lord. And He has given us a certain amount of knowledge and responsibility. But He's given us blessings where we can meet God's need and His will. You thank Him, brother? You got something you want to say?
I'm reminded of a story I saw a long time ago. And as I was told the story when I was much older, I saw myself doing it. And that when I was growing up as a young child, maybe 7 or 8, how that I would go to my sock drawer, and there would always be clean socks, underwear, t-shirt, they didn't go. And I never, for many years, realized how that happened. I just know that when I needed clean socks, I would go to that drawer, and there would be clean socks in there. And never really, until much later, I realized that mom did. That's why I think that we were doing it. She went and did it for me. Now, are we not the same way toward God? All the blessings that we receive come from Him. Do we need to take a moment and acknowledge that God is putting it in that place? It just don't happen. The socks just didn't gradually appear clean in there. Mom went to the effort. The moment that you're able to start reading, who provided that for you? Isn't it in the chair just come out of me? How did that?
It's
good.
Yeah.
Just when you say that, you just remind me of this story.
Yeah.
That there's a child, he, of course, hindsight, you know, it is, and there's a child. I didn't thank mom enough for what she did.
Yeah.
So are we the same now as God? Hope not. But we do think sincerely. I think we're not.
You know, I often think while you were talking, and there's scripture for it, God feeds the birds, and He feeds all the animals. They don't have to go out and work. That's a good thing. You know, that's a private word for living. God has everything provided for them. He will use us to do some of that. There are a lot of people that love to feed birds. And I think that's one of the things I love, because I kind of like animals. I ain't gonna be bad and all that. I mean, God made them all. But there's certain dogs I like, there's certain animals I like. And I don't have a problem with it. I just love it. I just got a soft heart. I just wish I was able to take care of another dog we had when he passed away. But I miss him. I still do. But God is so in my belief. He blesses us just like those socks you're talking about. You know, I didn't thank my mama enough either, or my grandmother, as a matter of fact, enough either for providing it. My grandmother had a wash day, and I had to help her. She had a big tub, and it had blowing in it, and she'd wash the sheets in the washing machine and run them through the wringer. And she'll go out, she'll hang those out. Because I know me, I'd drop them on the ground. But she would do that. But all the other stuff, like underwear and t-shirt, I had to hang those out. I had to wash my own jeans or whatever. It's a blessing that God gave us the knowledge to do these things. We take so many things for granted that God allows us that and do. It is so easy to not think about the blessings that you have.
That's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. That we have an opportunity to reflect on it and consider how good God has been, how good He is, and how good He continues to be.
Yeah.
You know, we can't help. We should not wait to be thankful for that. Be genuinely thankful and happy with the heart that we have got in this parent. And two, like you were saying, bro, that if we still have an opportunity in your life, in your relationship with your parents or wherever, take the time to say yes.
Yeah. It means a lot. Particularly to the person that's doing it. It means a lot. Oh, okay. I do want to just thank all of you at this time for participating in the class. I don't teach as much as I used to. I do like it. I like it when everybody and whoever it is that's in the class, they want to participate. It kind of helps me out. And I kind of like that. But I'm going to say a few more words. And let's see. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. In Matthew 9, 37 and 38, many souls today are hungering for a message of hope and eternal life. The weary of this sinful world search for something better and noble. We possess the precious gospel, the words of eternal life. We must share with those who seek and with all who will listen. I think it's so important that God has given us His Word. And we need to use our God-given ability whenever we can to teach others about the Almighty God. God and His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so important that we do what we can to make sure that we live our lives in the way that God wants us to live. But we also need to be thankful for His Word. We need to be thankful for His Son, Jesus Christ, and certainly for God Almighty and all the blessings that afforded us in this life. I am so thankful. Any more comments before we close? Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you all.
Thank you.